morning. Thanks so much for joining us. Monday morning. Hope you had a great weekend. Although I do know that there were a number of people that were dealing with hail damage, storm damage in parts of the province, golf ball sized hail in a couple of spots in the province through the weekend. Some of it last night, some of it on Saturday. Thank you to the texts that have started to come in as well. 1-877-332-8255. If you've got a weather story from the weekend, we're hearing about lots of problems down in Oxbow. So if your community, your farm, your house affected by the weather, shoot us a text and let us know. Or if you got a lot of rain, there were some places that got dumped on for rain over the weekend. We're hearing about like almost a flash rain event over a period of an hour in a couple of spots in the eastern part of the province. So happy to hear those thoughts as well. And if you've got a tick count going, happy to hear that as well. There are so many wood ticks this year. Everybody's talking about pulling the wood ticks off their dog, crawling on their arm. It feels like it's a constant piece of conversation that it's become the new small talk in Saskatchewan, talking about wood ticks. Well, a lot has happened since we last had Brian Lilly on the show. Always love bringing political columnist for the Toronto Sun, Brian Lilly, onto our program. If you think about Canada's economy showing signs of weakness as we enter this recession. I know some want to call it a technical recession. I also know Mark Carney doesn't like to comment on this as well. But you think about that, Ottawa facing more pressure with military spending, CUSMA up in the air, and gosh, we're getting close to that deadline. All of this pointing to time to check in with Brian Lilly, political columnist for the Toronto Sun, and is joining us by phone this morning. Brian, thanks for giving us a call.
Thanks for having me on. Always good to talk to you.
Maybe I'll ask this question first, because I know you're in Toronto this weekend. That big Walk with Israel march was happening, and it's looked to me, I just saw some stuff online, thousands of people showed up for this.
Yeah, they were saying that it was bigger. I did not go this year. I was there last year, participated before, just decided to actually take a weekend off this year. Or this weekend.
You're entitled.
Which is rare for me. Yeah. And but plenty of friends there. My colleague Joe Warmington was there for the Toronto Sun covering it. Less problems than last year, but police took a different attitude. And all of this coming about a week after the Prime Minister's speech here in Toronto, where he talked about the fact that Canada's covenant has failed Jewish Canadians. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this, you know, some 60,000 people, mostly Jews and their allies and supporters, who were out for the march. And last year, a lot of vile stuff being yelled at from the sidelines by the pro-Palestinian groups who, they're not really pro-Palestinian. They're pro-Hamas. They show up with posters supporting Hamas terrorists. They show up with placards supporting the Iranian Ayatollahs, and then, oh, we're just peaceful protests, while also calling for essentially death to Israel, death to Jews. The police took a harder line this year, which is good, but I will tell you, Full Comment podcast is out today. I talked to different people from the Jewish community about Carney's comments, and by the end, we were talking about whether it's even, do they even feel safe living in Canada anymore? And there are a number of people who are saying, no, they don't. Mm. I know Saskatchewan does not have a large Jewish community. Toronto is one of the largest Jewish communities in the world outside of Israel.
It is interesting to see. I mean, if you got that many thousands of people in a pro-Palestinian, and I say pro-Palestinian, I have some friends who are literally pro-Palestinian without stepping over that line to pro-Hamas, but those aren't the people that seem to show up at these rallies. It's the people that want to use a lighter to start a fire or get into some kind of a act of violence. There seem to be very different methodologies between these groups.
Yeah, so I started calling them pro-Hamas because I followed them. I mean, for months they were going right outside my condo window. I'd bump into them on the street, and I have watched them vandalize buildings all around. I have watched them target specific businesses because the owner's Jewish. I've seen them do that at schools and, you know, calls for violence or burning, literally burning things. I've seen all of that. And at that point I said, okay, these are not people who are standing up for the human rights of the Palestinian people. These are people who are engaging in and supporting terrorists. They would play over loudspeakers that were carried on the back of a pickup truck, the speeches from the Hamas leaders talking about keeping up the fight and glorifying October 7th. At that point, you're not pro-Palestinian, you are right. Pro-terrorist.
Yeah, it's you're right. We've seen bits of it out here in the West, but in certainly in Saskatchewan, we haven't seen anything to the magnitude that you have in the East. Okay, I want to talk about the recession. Whether you want to minimize it, saying it's a technical recession, it's a blip on the radar, it doesn't meet all of the criteria of a full-blown recession, fair enough. My criticism continues to be with the fact that we have arguably the most knowledgeable prime minister on economics than we've had in a long time, and yet he seems to be absent on this, Brian. We haven't heard very much from him at all. In fact, almost avoiding any questions that have come his way.
So, you know, Mark Carney is in favor of the term technical recession now, but when he was governor of the Bank of England and he was asked to, you know, there was talk that Britain was going into a technical recession, he said, well, the definition of a technical recession is technically that you have two quarters of flat or negative growth, and that is simply a recession. So he called it an actual recession when he was bank governor in Britain, and now he wants to hide behind the term technical. I didn't like it when the Harper government tried claiming it was a technical recession in 2015. Back then, most of the media spent their time explaining to you why it was a real recession. Now most of the gallery in Ottawa are spending their time telling you, no, it's just a technical recession. Well, as the Conservatives ad say, oh, so you're technically unemployed, you're technically homeless. It doesn't matter which measure you're looking at. The economy is weak. I mean, they were crowing about the jobs numbers on Friday. And they said, see, we have job creation. It's great. Well, the unemployment rate is still 6.3%.
Mm.
Or 6.6% nationally. It was 6.9, and it fell to 6.6. That is not a healthy unemployment rate. We have had more than 2 years of unemployment being above 6%, generally between 6.5 and 7.1% for 2 years. That predates Donald Trump by a wide margin. You can't just blame this on the tariffs coming out of the United States. We have an economy that's underlying fundamentals is weak. I mean, that's not necessarily the case for Saskatchewan. I'm just pulling.
I was going to say we're a bit of an anomaly. Things are actually pretty good in this province.
Well, you guys just went up to 6.2, which is not healthy. You had been below 6. You're just now up to 6.2, but you guys have been doing better than the rest of the country for a long time. You look at bankruptcies; they're up 10% compared to last year. You look at food inflation. It's still out of control. It's just shy of 4%. It's the highest or second highest in the G7. Everyone else is dealing with inflation as well. Part of what's causing higher food inflation in Canada? Government policy. Will they address that? No. You know, Pierre Poilievre has been saying for 2 years now, even back to when he was leading the polls, Canada should be the richest, most prosperous country on the planet. We could and we should be, but we keep getting in our own way. And that includes everything from, this ridiculous CRTC decision that the government's walking back to now we're pumping the brakes on speeding up major projects because there are complaints from people who put in place the rules that stop those projects from going ahead. We can't seem to stop getting in our own way in this country instead of allowing ourselves to prosper.
Brian Lilly is my guest, political columnist for the Toronto Sun. What I was referring to actually less about the unemployment rate in Saskatchewan, but we technically aren't. If you just look at our province, we aren't in a recession here, according to GDP growth, if you're reading it for the province, which is a bit of an anomaly. But I think it speaks to some of the economic drivers that you see in Canada when you look at the country as a whole.
Oh, absolutely. You guys have been doing better. Alberta, surprisingly, not as well. and they're still having trouble with their youth unemployment rate. I believe it's the second highest in the country. Their provincial unemployment rate is 6.6%, doing better than, say, Ontario is, but not as well as they would be if we just, you know, stop messing things up.
Mm-hmm. I was reading a couple of articles, one in the National Post last week and another one online, about there are a number of economists that will argue we have been in a masked recession for the last 4 years because it's been this incredibly large number of immigration numbers that have been making it appear like we're doing okay. When you've got population growth, that adds more consumers to the country. However, you know, if you factor in all of the other things, it almost is a bit of a false positive, if you will.
Yeah, and that point has been made for some time with people pointing to the GDP per capita going down, even as the GDP was in positive territory. And that's because we were driving our economy by population growth. But the new population that we were bringing in, a lot of temporary foreign workers, a lot of international students that we would then hand work permits to, they were earning less than the average, because they're taking entry-level, low-wage jobs. But that was the only thing keeping our economy afloat. And then, you know, less so now, but for a long while towards the end of the Trudeau years, constant expansion of the public service. I believe that during the Trudeau years, the public service expanded by about 40%. And when the majority of your job creation is in the public service instead of the private sector, that is not a good thing. You eventually get to a point of it being unsustainable.
For sure, for sure. I want to shift gears quickly here, Brian, while I've still got a couple minutes with you. You mentioned the CRTC earlier in one of your answers. The CRTC, of course, made this decision back in May, saying it would require large streaming services like Netflix to contribute 15% of their Canadian revenues to Canadian content. Many people worried about what impact this is going to have on passing the cost down to those that are using, to reduced investment in Canada, further trade retaliation. There's all kinds of things. The federal government appears to be pushing back on this. I don't know how far it'll go, but this seems like a good move to me by the feds.
This is bad policy that, by the way, they're trying to say, well, this is the CRTC's decision, not ours. The CRTC acted based upon instructions from the Liberal government. And on the side, that part of this that deals with the American trade issues, they've been warned since 2023 when they first proposed this by the Biden administration, you can't do what you're planning on doing. It's a violation of CUSMA. And, you know, we will retaliate. Donald Trump got in. He said the same thing. But this is a bad policy for Canada's broadcasters as well. And normally when I'm on a broadcaster governed by the CRTC, like your radio stations, people get nervous. The last while, people have been willing to let me speak about this. This idea that we're going to pay for Canadian content by increasing the costs on, well, Ralco, on CTV, on Global, is a horrible way. If we're going to decide as a country that we want to subsidize Canadian content, we should just do a straight-up subsidy. Instead, what we've been saying to CTV is, the CRTC has been saying, you give us 30 to 45% of your revenue, not your profit, but your revenue, and we'll decide where it goes to fund Canadian content. Well, they said in this latest decision, we'll drop that down to 25%. We're going to be good guys, and we'll drop it down to 25%. But now we're going to bring the streamers in, and they have to pay 15%. The Canadian streamers, like Crave, had to pay 25% under this. But yeah. Netflix, only 15% of the revenue. It was bad for so many reasons, from the trade to what it would do to consumers. Your bills would go up, to distorting the economy. It even said it changed the rules so that sports couldn't be considered Canadian content. So the Jays game that I was at Friday night, where they lost 13-3, horrible game,
yeah.
But it's broadcast in Canada, from Canada, Canadian production crew, Canadian hosts. That would not be considered Canadian content. Neither would a Leafs-Habs game, for goodness sakes, or a Oilers-Flames game, That's not Canadian content. It's such a horrible decision. The CRTC should be dismantled, in my opinion, because they don't have a clue what they're about any of the industries they're regulating, and we just put them in charge of the internet.
I was going to say the internet, and just I would say any sort of content that is consumed today has changed and morphed so significantly with streaming services and everything that the CRTC's regulation of that, very tough to have a set of Canadian rules to regulate something that is global. Well, we're going to have to leave it there.
Regulating like it's the 1990s.
That's exactly the point. Okay, we're going to have to leave it there, Brian. We're out of time, but always appreciate your check-in. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Brian Lilly, political commentator for the Toronto Sun. You can catch his articles through Toronto Sun's website, but you can also find Brian lots of different social media platforms and, of course, regularly here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOF. Thanks again to Brian Lilly for stopping by. Just to pick up on the CRTC discussion. So the CRTC basically in May said it would require large streaming services. These are the Netflixes, the Disneys, those types of streaming services to contribute 15% of their Canadian revenues to Canadian content. Ottawa has stepped in and said that it will direct the CRTC to review its recent decision, tripling streamers' financial contributions to Canadian content. But basically, under the Broadcasting Act, Cabinet does not have the authority to direct and overturn the decision. It must instead direct the CRTC on how to broadly implement the Online Streaming Act. But this is, I think, that tightrope walk, because the CRTC is an agency of the Government of Canada. It's functioning at an arm's length. And I know that those types of things are almost always put in quotes. It functions at an independent arm's length from government. However, as you just heard Brian Lilly comment, I mean, this has been the back and forth, because it's the government that puts in the Online Streaming Act and then expects that the CRTC will govern within that. But there are a lot of concerns that come with this, what that regulation from the CRTC will mean for streaming, will mean for you and I, anyone who consumes any sort of media through online streaming platforms. That cost, that additional cost, will no doubt be borne by the customers. Many people worry that this means reduced investment in Canada. And I think it speaks more broadly to the governance of media. Now, media, I'm putting in quotes, because no longer is it just about radio, TV, and papers in Canada. I mean, media is much broader today. And that is why people question what the CRTC's regulatory power really looks like in the new form of media, which is significantly different. This seems like a good topic to head into open lines on, and that's where we're going next. Opening up the phone lines for you, 1-877-332-8255. We'll be right back here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.